Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the first letter to Corinthians of St. Paul, chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is in the name of God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord. Everyone is given the Spirit for the sake of the common good. With that, does anyone have any comments you'd like to make this morning? David, don't get nervous if you're not used to this. We won't ask you to do anything.
No, I hate to speak in public. You know how I am. The scripture reminds me very much of your sermon at Sherwood's funeral last Saturday. You spoke about Sherwood being not a churchgoer, but definitely a believer, and all of the things that he did for the community, for his fellow man. And I see a lot of that in the scripture that you read this morning.
Thank you. That's a good example. Anyone else? Kim?
For me, the spiritual gifts have been through the Word, and I kept at it. And even though I didn't understand it, I kept at it. And I joined a Bible study and work with other women and men. And I have the spiritual gifts, and I've always had it. And I always prayed for abundance and never realized I have abundance. I never run out. I have everything I need. And to be awakened again and to feel whole and feel centered and feel that I know that God is in my heart and he's shining through. And I just keep praying that I can keep at it and keep at it and help as many people as I can, because that's what it's all about, is serving others. So I just want to keep being that beam of light that shines. And, you know, I feel so blessed. And I just feel alive.
Nope. There is one thing that I find annoying with this, is that when you know that when you were pagans, okay, you were enticed to led astray to idols that could not speak. Who said that? Okay, where does that come from? That comes from people that have decided that the spirits have always been part of this world. It doesn't matter with whom. It is a reality. If you would like to, it is there for you. For me, okay, this is a bunch of, and you understand. Voila, I've said my piece.
Thank you, Agatha. Thank you. Yes, Jim.
I had a completely different mundane reaction when I read this. First thing I thought of was, I'm afraid to fly. And lots of times I feel like I miss things because, like, I didn't go to Italy to my nephew's wedding because I'm afraid to fly. And I mean, flying is a little different, but I think what this said to me in terms of that is that you don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to move out of really your comfort area physically in order to give your gifts to whatever. You don't. I guess I'm looking for an out to not feel guilty about the fact that I don't want to get on a plane, that I can do something valuable right where I am.
Well, she does. Daily, yearly, she does. So stop it. I think everybody has gifts, and I think a lot, I'm kind of learning a little bit to not look outward but inward as far as gifts are concerned. And not envy or jealousy, but I'm always thinking, well, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Instead of realizing what I can do. And it's taken me blank a number of years to realize there's a lot I can do, and I don't have to look outward anymore. And I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for what I have. But it's taken me many years.
It's a lifetime.
I think that the passage really shows how many different ways that we are blessed. And you should be happy with the blessing that you particularly have and not worry about the blessing that somebody else has got. Because we've all been blessed one way or another in lots of different ways. Just be happy with the one that you have and share it with the people that you're with.
I just want to say that it's much easier for me to give my gifts to children. They're in my heart. And so, not so much for adults, sorry, but children are number one.
Well, isn't this a journey for all of us? You know, one of the interesting things in the history of the church, of course, has been the focus on what we don't have and on the concept of sin and the concept of failure and our inadequacy, in a sense. And I think one of the real hurdles for expressing gifts has to do with... Don't you love their voices? Yeah. With this process of noticing that in every case, the gift they're referring to here, you know, isn't your talent necessarily as a pianist or even as a politician or any of these acts of service. It's a gift in which something comes through you. That's what they're talking about here. The spiritual gifts are the gifts that come through you in service to humanity. At an individual level within your own family and household, or in a broader level into community. And what I'm finding in this process of making the decision to be of service, I kind of in my older years have come to this place where my profound desire is to be of service. And what does that look like? And I think it looks specifically like these gifts, but it looks like even more than that, the willingness to be kind of a vessel for something to come through, to kind of step out of my own way and not feel shy about having courage and not feel shy about stepping forward in ways that are not necessarily fully understood, particularly when it comes to matters of spirit and healing and mediumship and things like this. Because these gifts, that's something like 80% of the American society has said that they've had insights and connections with people who've passed in one way or another. And it's recognized as a gift in the spirit for higher purposes. So it's a wonderful process, but the process of letting go of my sense of my gift And instead of letting it be something that comes through me, my gift is to say yes. My gift is to ask to be used, to ask to be of service. And in that process, whatever is unique within this soul's journey will hopefully come forward to serve.
This has two parts for me. The second part is simply that we do all have different gifts, but we have a responsibility to share those. We're given them for a reason. And it may be playing the piano, and it may be singing, and it may be extremely smart with math or physics, but it's taking those gifts and using them. The first part, though, talks about how you use your gifts. It talks about let Jesus be cursed. Don't use your gifts to tear someone down. Jesus is Lord. Use your gifts to lift each other up.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Quiet over there on that side.
I think part is being gracious enough to receive gifts. I think that's a lesson that I had to learn, that there are people who want to help, and sometimes you can't always be the giver. You have to be the receiver, and you have to be gracious and accept what gifts are given to you.
You want this? He wants the microphone. Thank you, Norma.
I don't think I expressed myself the way I wanted to before. Gifts, again, which everybody says is something that's been given to you or me or whatever, and as less expressed, they come from whatever, however you want to name it, a higher level, and they're not mine to keep, they're mine to share, and they're really... not sound so hierarchy. They're just not mine. I'm to use them as they are given to me, but I can't own them. They're coming from somewhere else, and I just have to learn to recognize them, which I am now. So.
Thank you, Barb. Anyone else?
We have a great gift.
That's right, everybody, right. Excuse me, the interesting thing about this reading, so you take it out of context, and you have many different responses to what really this is all about. All of them very valid, very valid. And I think every one of you has said something that really is enriching, understanding ourselves, our gifts, where we relate to God, how we relate to each other. It's all wrapped up in that one simple thing of we are all caught up in the life of the Spirit. Interestingly, in Paul's time, the early church, when they were forming a community, they had a lot of problems, and a lot of the problems were very practical. Some people were very strong in wisdom, and some people were strong in other ways. And there were always people who were on the fringes. There were always people who didn't quite match up to what everybody else thought they should be as part of the community. You know that. Being in a community, a church community, a work community, you know that there are levels of closeness and levels of distance. Personality, talent-wise, ability, position, whatever it happens to be. Well, the same thing is true in the early church. What Paul is doing here is probably one of the most original Christian thoughts. And he puts it out very, very nicely. If you continue reading this passage, the next part of it, he talks about there's one body, and we are all members of the body. And he goes through and breaks it down. If you are an eye, you're important to the body, but you're not an eye saying, I'm not an eye, I'm an eye, so I can't be a part of anything else. Or your hand, or your face, or your mouth, or your voice, these are all part of the body. Every part is important. We know that. You consider having an amputee. We're looking at people who have disabilities that can't do the things that, quote, normally we would like to be able to do, that allows us freedom and independence. All those people feel very much not part of. Well, in Paul's community, there were people who had no standing at all. You know, we talk a lot about the women's role in those days, and if a woman was not married, she had no means of support and survival. And if you were a child and you were parentless, you were really on your own. Those were normal ways of living. These people had no voice. Paul goes on to say that what we do with the least important parts of the body is we adorn them the most. Now, I could never figure out what exactly he was talking about, except to understand that he was saying, there are people among us, there are people in this body who are not quite up to snuff. And we have reasons why they are there, because of our judgments and all the rest of it. He says, let it be known that the ones among you who are the least important are the ones who should be most honored. Because all the rest of us have comfort levels of giving and being important and having some kind of information or feedback that makes us feel very positive about ourselves. These have none of that. And that's why we should be adorning them the most, because they are just as important, if not more important, than all the rest of us. Which is kind of a rebellious take on the life of a community in his time. But for us, think about it. We live in a world where obviously we see our differences more than we see our commonalities. Our neighborhoods are formed, and people are placed in certain pockets of our understanding. Our cities and towns are divided by good areas and not so good areas, and the upper crust and the lower crust, and the ones who are on the dole and all the rest of that kind of stuff. Our country is divided according to the way we talk, the accents we happen to have, finances, certainly, the ability to produce and to be active in a society, to be an important part of a culture, and those who are not. We have lots of divisions. In fact, I think if we look at ourselves honestly, most of our appreciation of each other is more of a reflection of how we see ourselves as not quite there, whether that's a good thing or a not good thing. And that's a sadness, because what Paul was saying was, let us remember always, with all of our religious divisions, with all of our political divisions, with all of our attitudes and all the different things that we share among ourselves as negatives, let us remember that we are all here from the same God, who empowers each one of us to be uniquely ourselves for a reason. Because who I am and what I bring will never be duplicated again. Our personhood, our uniqueness, is the greatest gift that God could give to the world, which is why we are all so different. But we're not different because of the judgments we make. We're different because each one of us, within us, is an extension of the experience of God. That's what Paul is trying to underscore. And you're right, Agatha. We have messed it up so bad. We have in so many ways messed it up. But we read it again and again, and we come here again and again to remind ourselves, very simply, that in spite of all of that, in spite of the history, in spite of all the things that are that don't work right, we are called to look at our world from the perspective of a God who is a part of every human being's life, whether they're aware of it or not. That doesn't have anything to do with religion. It has nothing to do with faith. It has to do with the reality of the uniqueness of our own personhood. Saint Ignatius, or Saint, I forget which Saint, Irenaeus once said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." That means God is glorified when each one of us becomes so fully alive to who we really are that the world is enriched by our very presence. So we don't argue about gifts. We don't look at who has more gifts than another. It has nothing to do with talent. It has to do with appreciating ourselves as an experience of God, not only for ourselves, but especially for each other. And in a relationship, you look at the person who loves you the most, and in your ability to accept and celebrate that uniqueness, you have an experience of God. We call it love. And parents with children, it's easy sometimes to get lost with all the things that are responsible for. But never forget holding a child and listening to that little voice. It's an experience of God, more communion-like than standing at the table and sharing bread and wine. That's what we're missing. The sacredness of everyone and the sacredness of every moment. It's just a thought. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm looking at some material now that's not necessarily scriptural, so we can kick around some other things. So prepare. Okay? Thank you. This is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Somebody asked me over the weekend, I guess it was our friends. We went out to lunch with our friends from New York. And they said, "How is that dialogue thing going?" I said, "Well, it's going very well." And they listen to the sermon sometimes on day. I said, "Listen to the dialogue ones, the ones on the end of the month, and you hear it. It's so important for you to understand you have powerful, powerful, powerful people. You really are. And you are such a gift. Look at what you're doing. Not many people would do this. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Let us pray.